We're going to be looking at the Gospel of Mark again, but for our quiet morning, I'd like to invite you to participate in a little exercise before we get going, maybe to wake us up a bit. These are just a series of about seven statements I'm going to ask you. If you agree with or if you don't agree with, if you agree with, hold up your hand, and if you don't agree with, you can put your thumb down, and if you really strongly disagree with it, you can shake your thumb or shake your hand, or if you don't feel like answering, you can just ignore the whole business. It's up to you, okay? How many of you agree with this statement? God is always pursuing us. How many agree with this statement? It's really difficult to know if there is a God. Some are disagreeing, all right? Okay. How many agree with this statement? God supplies our needs. Now we got a mixture on that one. How about this statement? God gives us choices in our everyday life. How about this? Faith in God is based on a personal relationship with God. How about this? A person may believe in God and yet not have faith. A person may believe that God is good and yet not have faith. And then the last one, a person who doubts God does not have faith. Want to talk about any of those for a moment? You don't have to, but again, what it showed to me is that, you know, there are different perspectives about the same statements, and we could probably have fun just taking any one of those and talking for a while. Anybody have any response? It was supposed to be part of the shaking off dull sloth. What does that hymn verse say?
Which one did you have the greatest discrepancy on looking around the room?
I think there were a number where people didn't participate, and that would have maybe been a greater discrepancy. The one where I saw the discrepancy was God supplies our needs. So when you hear God supplies our needs, it sounds like maybe it's just sit there and take rather than be about.
The one that was most, well, that I didn't respond on because it was thought provoking. They all needed some time.
Purposely.
But the questions around faith, since faith itself is a gift from God, I really can't make a judgment about who has it or who doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
It's a universal gift, I think. And it's a gift, and it's a matter of whether we are willing to receive the gift. Some people accept it and some don't.
Okay. Anybody else? Well, let's jump into Mark. What my suggestion for the day is, I had suggested yesterday we would talk about the teachings of Jesus for today and possibly even and also tomorrow, depending on how far we get. And I suggested if you were reading in Mark to find some areas, if you don't mind, I'll lead off by picking two and talking about them one at a time and invite you to respond and then take time for any that you have to suggest that we could take a look at also, if that's agreeable. I'd like to suggest that we take a look at Mark 2, 15 to 17 first. And maybe we could have that read in one or two translations if somebody would read it in theirs.
Mark
2,
15 to 17.
15 to 17, right.
Mm-hmm. This translation is the Good News for Modern Man.
All right.
Later on, Jesus was having a meal in Levi's house. A large number of tax collectors and outcasts was following Jesus, and many of them joined him and his disciples at the table. Some teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw that Jesus was eating with these outcasts and tax collectors. So they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with such people?" Jesus heard them and answered, "People who are well do not need a doctor, but only those who are sick. I have not come to call respectable people, but the outcasts."
Okay. Someone else want to read it? Another translation? Go ahead.
And it came to pass that when Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Okay. Does anybody else have NEB, New English Bible? Let me read it there. When Jesus was at table in his house, many bad characters, I like that one, many bad characters, tax gatherers and others, were seated with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. Some doctors of the law who were Pharisees noticed him eating in this bad company and said to his disciple, He eats with tax gatherers and sinners. Jesus heard it and said to them, It is not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. I did not come to invite virtuous people, but sinners. This is found in Matthew and Luke as well, and so it's not, it isn't peculiar to Mark. I think it's a strange passage in a number of ways. I don't think that it was so unusual from my reading of around in the scriptures that people invited sinners. I think other rabbis of our Lord's day did the same thing. I think the distinction is that others invited sinners who had repented, and Jesus invited sinners before they repented. In other words, the requirements that we lay on others, or that people tend to say, that if you change, then it's possible to be part of the kingdom, it seems to me grows from an understanding of inviting people who, in advance, are willing to change, and then you can be part of the kingdom, or part of the church, or part of whatever it may be. And it seems to me that what our Lord is saying here, that he just invites, and even the to repentance is found in a couple of the texts, and not in the best texts. It's found, I think, in Luke and not in Matthew, where it does finish with to repentance. That what happens when he invites, that changes people. You know, that's another kind of thing that we believe, to be sure. But that's quite a distinction. For it reminds me that if we were the ones inviting ourselves over to Zacchaeus' house, we probably would have checked out what Zacchaeus planned to do with all that dough before we went and saw him. You know, is he going to give it back or not? And we'd have worked the deal. Or if we had been the waiting father for that prodigal, we may well have sent a social worker to find out whether he was going to, you know, what happened out there, and did he have any progeny lying around somewhere or something, and we'd have done a check on him. Anyway, it seems to me we would have. Or the woman taken in adultery, we'd at least wondered whether after we forgave her, she was going to go back to her lover's arms. I think. Yeah.
You mean that sinners is not really a very good translation here, because we're all sinners. And in this translation, for example, the outcasts.
Yeah.
And the tax collectors, these were particularly hated individuals for special reasons.
It's a tough word. It tends to be related to the breaking of the Mosaic law. And it was very much of an outcast for them. It may not be for us, but it was people who were really looked down on. And these publicans also were, you know, really not the biggies. These were usually the minor characters, but the ones closest to the people. They did the dirty work of getting, putting the last squeeze on for the pressure. And so in terms of the people, you're right, they were really looked down on. They were, quote, unquote, scum, if I suppose. And the bad characters, I suppose, of the NEB translation.
they also didn't draw a salary.
Yeah, the percentage was there.
Do we read this in terms of our personal attitudes and behavior towards other other fellow human beings, or is it also talking to the church?
Mm-hmm. And if it is, to whom is that? Who is the church?
Well, for the moment, I'm thinking in terms of those who have already accepted Christ as their personal Savior. Is this, in one sense, is this almost a Eucharistic story?
My question is at the end of the story, is who are the sick and who are the healthy?
Yes.
Maybe you want to suggest what you think.
Sometimes, thinking of another parable, sometimes I'm the one that's in a ditch by the road.
Mm-hmm.
And need someone to care for me. I think that there are moments when we're all the one that needs to be freely invited, and other times we're the ones who can do the inviting.
Do we need to consider what came just before that?
Sure.
The calling of Levi.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Levi had decided to get up and follow Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was at dinner in his house, mm-hmm. which was probably Levi's house, I suppose.
There's an argument about it. Some people think it was Jesus' house. That gets into trouble with other passages. Mm-hmm. But there's a good reason to think that it might have been Levi's house.
But at least these people had decided to follow Jesus.
Oh, not all. There's no evidence of that, because many followed him. Tax gatherers followed him, whether came to hear him, whether they had committed themselves to it. I don't think the text would give us that. Mm-hmm. In other words, these weren't good guys.
No.
They were bad characters. I think the text would be pretty clear about that. That they would still be viewed as bad characters, not having changed and made a big change around. That they may have. Somebody else might feel differently. Go ahead.
Well, I feel very comfortable about having Christ sit down and eat with these people, because he was not going to be influenced by their behavior.
Mm-hmm.
However, when I put myself in that position, or more importantly, my children, mm-hmm. if I feel very good about my children and their ability to lead, then I want them to be mm-hmm. an example to these other people and to mingle with them. But if I'm afraid if these people are going to pull myself or my children down with them, then I want them to eat with nice people.
How do you feel about that? Anybody?
I think it's really interesting. In my translation it says, I came not to call them righteous. Here the scribes and the Pharisees had come and saying, they were saying, look at these, the scum that you're eating with. And then he turns around to them and says, but the scum I came to invite, not you righteous. And it makes me think, as long as you think you're righteous, Jesus didn't come to invite you. And the invitation is not open to you.
You think that's what Jesus meant, the rest of you?
I once heard
He's only for the non-righteous.
I just heard it put this way, one thing, not even God can fill a full bucket. And people who are so filled with their own mm-hmm. goodness don't need God, or don't think they need him anyway.
That sounds like the righteous are turning God down. Does he invite them? That would be, it seemed to me that'd be a pretty important question. Does he want them or not? Whether they turn him down, whether they're so filled that they can't hear or take. But does he want them makes a difference to me. Yeah.
Was a rich young ruler who claimed to have followed all of the Ten Commandments from his youth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was invited, but he just couldn't the fact that he needed a total, that mm-hmm. he wanted a total commitment.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the invitation is there for all.
Mm-hmm.
Rich or poor.
I suppose that one way of understanding the text for me is the most sick are the righteous.
Say that again.
The most sick are the righteous. You know, in the sense that we're talking about here, that they, if they think they are not in need, as indeed perhaps these Pharisees said, or that there were some pre-requirements, that's a very pretty gross form of sickness. Because it really, you know, is focused on self and looking down on others. And then indeed they would come under the call of our Lord. If it, you know, we're saying righteous, I'm trying to identify righteous in terms of self, you know, in contrast or above someone else rather than as a gift of God.
I'm still struggling with the notion here, or with the idea here, that it not only speaks to each individual
mm-hmm.
person who feels that we are part of the family of God, but it speaks to the church as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Have we really opened our doors and our family meal, as it were,
mm-hmm.
to all? Is it an open door that everybody can truly feel invited to and come to? Or do we put some policies and rules?
Sounds like your question is a statement to me, but maybe it isn't.
Well, I suppose in the sense of every question.
Yeah. Well, in other words, you know, let me ask you, do you feel that the corporate church has, is it?
I think that we're struggling.
Okay.
And I think we're trying to.
Okay. I didn't mean to censure on you, but anybody, you want to respond to this? Is this only just for individuals now, figuring out their relationship to God and to one another, or does it speak for the corporate activities, whether that be a congregation or a denomination, a judicatory, or, you know, whoever?
Well, if I thought I was so right, I don't think I'd be too afraid to sit down with anybody. I would hope that I would be strong enough to try to bring somebody to where I think I am.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to help very much if I decide I'm right and sit over here. And I wouldn't want to be eliminated from God, even if I had to sit with these people, if that's what it takes to be closer.
Mm-hmm.
In verse 17,
mm-hmm.
it says, "They that are well have no need of the physician, but they that are sick."
Mm-hmm.
And I've always thought of this as meaning that the people who knew God and were keeping the commandments didn't need him, but the ones who did not know God and who were not keeping the commandments needed him. I always interpreted it that way.
But would you believe that those that keep the commandments could keep it so perfectly that they didn't need God? Would that sort of gel with the rest of the scriptures?
No, that isn't quite what I meant.
Huh.
Those who knew God and were really, really trying,
mm-hmm.
would
be most in need of God, it would seem to me.
That's crazy. You say that way. Well, then that bothers me.
Well, if you have a literal, you know, Jesus said many things that had double edges to it, you know. If we take the scriptures to mean, you know, just exactly like he's saying now, righteous people need no doctor or need no physician. If that's what he was trying to say in this text, then I think you'd be, you know, that one would be stuck with a very difficult situation. But if you take the context in which he is saying to people who are sold on themselves, look at, if you think you're so great, that's not my focus. My focus is on people who really have needs. I think he was saying to them, and you are part of them, if you would catch on to what's going on. But But he was saying, these are the people who obviously have these needs, and man, that's where I belong.
And you see, obviously, all of those people need it.
Indeed,
everybody needs
indeed,
them.
Right.
And yet he was implying, he said, I came not to call righteous.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But they're not aware of it.
I think he was kidding them like mad. I think he was laying it on him. I think he had the finest sense of humor around. And that it was, and you know, humor is one of the most serious forms of communication. Yeah, because I mean, that's not playing games. And that's why we often remember the things that are said to us in jest more than any other way. Because they may communicate much more deeply. I think that's a true word. Now, deciding whether that's a literal meaning only, or whether the context says that he was saying something beyond the literal meaning, and it's still a true word.
Do we make any connection between this word and the word he spoke to the crowd in John 9? He that is without sin among you
yeah.
can cast the
sure.
first stone.
I think it's parallel. I assume you would be implying that. Because the literal translation would be there. All of you people line up that have no sin.
In one place he called them white as sepulchers.
The Pharisees, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Indeed, indeed.
I've never thought of it in the way that you stated a few minutes ago. I think I heard you say that if we really felt that we had hold of the word, then we wouldn't be afraid to sit down with anyone. But it's out of fear and weakness in our own faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's like baby.
Who are the sick today? Now, we can say all of us, and we'll all agree on that. We won't take a vote. But who are the sick today? Churches used to symbolize this. They had schools when there were no schools. They had hospitals when there were no hospitals. They had orphanages when there were no orphanages. They started in many places social service agencies before there were social service agencies. The elderly are being taken care of in homes sponsored by the church. But all of these things now are being done by everybody else. Who are the sick today? I don't mean that we can get our arm in and do our only thing. How do we symbolize, signal to those around us? Saying it perhaps another way, the confusion about our values, those of us, all of us, in the sense we're confused about our values, are the sick. I don't know what the it is in that sentence, so I guess you'll have to say it.
I want you to pick out a specific, when we ask the government to feed the hungry of the world.
Oh, I see.
We ask the government to take care of the pollution. Well, that's a broad thing. But anyway, we say let them do it.
Let them, the government,
we
support them.
Not always, sometimes they just print paper.
Well, I'm,
for the next
I'm
generation.
Maybe not willingly, but maybe we go back to the yeah.
Place. Anyway, we say they.
Yeah. So maybe that's why we do it. That's just maybe we're too late. Maybe we're not qualified. Or we need to go on. But I think it takes it off of our shoulders. It was long ago we used to take care of our people. I'm alive. I don't even need to send my mother to a home for somebody else to do. However, there might be some things that I couldn't cover. I'm not a nurse. So if she had some difficult problem, I would appreciate it. Some nurse room. For instance, if I had a maid who was a nurse, I would hope that she would be willing maybe to help me out there. What we need to do is help each other right where we are. Instead of it being they and out there all the time, if we just started right here, we'd be surprised at how out there becomes right here. I mean, I think we start here and then slowly go to there, but as long as we get there, we could just be terrific.
Who else?
In spite of her laryngitis, I wish Mary would say a little more, clarify her statement.
Okay.
I think because Christians are not visible very much in the world anymore, because I notice that we have institutions that now have gotten so big that we have to have help with them. The church cannot alone take care of lepers and mental patients and people who are physically ill and educated enough. To me, one of the ways that we become visible in society is to say, you know, I do believe in justice throughout the world, and I feel that the way that I live enslaves other people. The amount of resources are wastefulness. I don't think we're good stewards of what God is doing us. And I think it's a sickness that we think we're not satisfied, so we try to get more and more and more of whatever it is. If we have our values straight, I really believe in my own life that where my heart is, that's where my prayer is. When I have all these compelling desires to consume and waste and be successful in what our American culture says is successful, I just think that is a very bad thing. I think it's very difficult to see Christ as provider or God in my life and my life. Myself,
some kind of oblivion. I just went through Temple Square recently in Salt Lake City, and I must say they sure make themselves visible and have a tremendous promotional way of saying and telling the world here we are. And they seem so highly organized, and their way of going about and sending out, you know, the young men two by two, and now the women also, something that Jesus did. But I don't know how much we follow that. And I feel like this was a tremendous example of how to make ourselves visible. Maybe we have other ways, perhaps, but my, with every family participating in that way, where one person out of their family generally goes out, in my understanding, goes out into the world without any monetary thing to depend upon, and then depend upon the people's graciousness to support them. And they have grown so tremendously in the world.
Oh, no question. Uh-huh. I certainly can't. I have to speak.
And they have made themselves visible.
Right. In a very unfortunate way in many times, by attacking other Christians very vocally and all the rest. So I can't join in an endorsement of a process that also includes tearing down other people.
No, I don't mean
yeah,
that either.
Right.
But I mean,
I want the Mormons to take the credit for their publicity and their visibility and the blame for the evil things that I believe the Mormon Church is doing. And I worked among the Mormons, so I'm not speaking out of just a bias, I'm speaking out of direct contact.
Well, I think what I'm trying to say is that maybe we're not really together.
Maybe. But I think if we go out, who are the sick we will look for? Will we just, I guess that's what I'm looking for. What is the sickness of our times? Are we going to go to the prisons and there are chaplains there? Are we going to go to the prostitutes somebody talked about last night? Maybe that's where we ought to be. Or is it to all of us who have this sickness that Mary is talking about, when we send them out? That, Jack?
Yeah, there was a line from one of John's sermons some time ago that has stuck in my mind. Why do you spend money on things that are not food? And I know I spend an awful lot of money on things that are not food. And I think a lot of us do. And I don't mean just literal food.
Yeah.
When it may be, using the Lutheran Church, for example, that mm-hmm. the Lutheran Church right now, today, doesn't have to be out there, since there are other agencies running all the hospitals, and the social service agencies and so forth, because that's being done by other agencies and other persons. But many of those other persons
are Lutheran or other Christians. Mm-hmm. The church is out there. I'm out mm-hmm. there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's between Monday and Friday, or Monday and Saturday. I believe that how we run our lives, how we behave, mm. is where the church is doing whatever it's doing. In Los Angeles, when Proposition 13 took effect, and agencies closed down, or were their services were cut back, it was quite a surprise, I think, to many, to find out how many folks in need of help turned to the churches. And the churches, of course, were not in a position to help them. And really couldn't be expected to be, I guess, although we had plenty of forewarning. But it could happen that we will be called on again. And I don't know if we'll be ready, or if we should, you know, try to think in advance.
I surely like that emphasis of, you know, the people of God are out there. There's no question about that. I surely agree with that. And to ignore that would be tragic. You know, I mean, in the schools, in the hospitals, in all those places, no question. The other part of it was that corporate kind of response we were talking about before, which is another aspect. Please.
I think we're talking about the sick and who are the sick, mm-hmm. and I'm speaking corporately as well sure. as individually. I think sometimes the sick are those of us who believe we are healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that mentally, physically, spiritually, and socially.
Yeah, and I think the real sickies too are the ones who hide their talents and don't use them. Don't use the gifts that we've been given.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. John?
I think to stick pretty closely to the parable, we could say that the sick are those who will gain the highest disapproval rating on the part of the righteous.
And got a guess where they might come in?
All kinds of places, but those particular groups are concerns that cause most divisiveness among church people, for example. Like those issues are kind of stalking horses for this parable.
Say more if you like, or we can go wherever.
Well, I'd rather not.
Okay, fine.
Name ourselves, what are those issues that mm-hmm. seem to be most divisive within the church that seem to drive a wedge between mm-hmm. the righteous and those who associate with the non-righteous?
Yes, sure.
I just want to try something. It seems to me that when we did those things as non-governmental people, but as church people, or those mm-hmm. we thought of as sick, we did them as acts of charity. Now that they've become governmental services, we see them more and more as the rights of people,
yeah.
rather than charitable acts. That is, well, I think we're supposed to be seeing them that way, mm-hmm. but we have a tendency, because we need to do charity, rather than charity is needed,
mm-hmm.
to still want to think of that as charity. And not rights of people to services. And I wonder if in some ways the sickness is still the same. Sicknesses are still the same.
Mm.
And our need is to work in the need to see that everybody gets them as rights, rather than it used to be that as many as possible got it as charity.
Mm. Got any response to that? I thought maybe that would help contribute to the divisiveness.
We still think of people who receive those services as non-deserving, and rather than getting them because they're human beings and have the right to them. And we would have the same right if we were in their condition.
That word right is very emotional to me. And
yes,
when
indeed.
I hear you say right,
I agree that it is their right, but today rights have been taken as only my individual right and not how it affects you, and more of a license than a freedom and a right.
You mean by the people in power?
No, by individuals as well. Oh. It is my right to do this and this and this and this and this, regardless of how it affects you or anyone else. It is still nonetheless my right.
Sounded to me like you were describing the people in power.
Well, that could be.
Anybody else have any?
I think there's a real sickness within the church that makes us put a capital C on the church.
Mm-hmm.
That the church is the place where we go on Sunday morning and the place that sends its little bit off to this mission. Instead of the church, the small C, which is the body of Christ in the world, which is the people of God out there, you know, mm-hmm. the whole week. And I think, I don't know how it can be done, but I think we have to regain a sense of each person's place in the whole body. You know, that what I do does affect what, you know, everyone else is going to be feeling and having done to them, you know, and that if I just consume and consume, it's hurting the whole body. I know, I just like to change all the capital letters, you know, and regain, I don't know if they ever had it. I think in the early church they did have a sense of just being a part of the whole church.
One of the things that causes me to be sick, in the sense that we're talking about today, mm-hmm. is it's kind of a schizophrenic situation in that I can't claim that I don't know, to use Jim Wallace's words, what the agenda of a biblical people should be. I think we do know, or at least I think that I know, that if I were really spending my life the way that I'm called as a Christian, where the emphasis should be, what my values should be. But daily in my university work, the emphasis is somewhere else. And to survive there, I get caught up in the values of that corporate system. And so that even though daily I know that I live out my Christian life out there, I am maybe spending 90% of my time and energies on somebody else's agenda. I believe that's very hard on people to do that, and I think it's true we live in a consumer system. Yet we're called to live in a world. I don't know how really one lives in it and is in it but not of it. I don't understand those words.
Good coffee break discussion among all of you. Mary, did you want to add a word?
One more candidate for sickies.
Yeah.
And that's people like myself who are more interested in spending time preserving a church, capital C, than being a servant.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you look at our own congregational programs and see how much of our time is spent on self-preservation and how much is servant,
I'd like to suggest Mark 7, 1 to 23 on that theme tomorrow, if we could talk about that a little bit and then fix up a little of that. And he still calls the sick, including us. Enjoy your day.